And now, A Bit of Time Travel presents The Architect, Part 2.
Come in. Good evening, Kurt. How was your time at home?
Good. It was very relaxing.
I'm glad to hear it. Tell me, what do you think of our updated model of Berlin?
Very impressive.
Yes. Well, let's hope the construction can begin soon. Though I do wonder if this street needs to be moved to over here.
Pardon me, Erspier, but I was wondering what my destination was this time.
Your destination? Ah, yes. How could I forget? The Führer and I have been having long discussions about client states.
Client states?
Yes. If Germany were to take possession of another country, these countries would be known as Germany's client states. I think it would be prudent for this department to think ahead in the event such an incident were to occur. What sort of influence did past empires have upon the architectural styles of these states? Was it updated to the aesthetic of the controlling state, or was it allowed to flourish under the tastes of its own people?
Those are certainly interesting questions.
Yes, I believe they are. That is why I would like you to visit a few of these ancient client states so that I can better advise the Führer on this topic. Start with the Herodian Kingdom of Judea, which was subordinate to Rome at the time, and report back to me. Its ruler was known as Herod the Builder, so there should be much for you to learn about.
I will provide you with a full report, as always.
I know you will. Safe travels.
This idea of having a sanctuary inside a forum that is surrounded by colonnade is a Roman influence, is it not? Much like the forums of Julius Caesar and Augustus?
Not exactly. The style originated in Greece long before. Why, you should know that. Didn't you say you were from there?
Why, yes. But the Roman influence upon your work still remains, does it not? With the numerous arches, vaults, and domes?
Of course, my goal has always been to blend Greek and Roman styles. But alas, Jerusalem is a diverse population. I've learned to cater to their artistic expressions as well.
Exquisite.
I'm glad you think so. I've been told that you have not seen true architecture until you've seen my architecture. No one shall forget who I am, Kurt. Kingdoms may rise and fall, but my buildings will last an eternity. This temple, especially. Oh, you can't go in there. Oh. See the sign?
Ooh. No Gentile shall enter the protective enclosure around the sanctuary, and whoever is caught will only have himself to blame for his ensuing death. Oh, my.
If you had walked in there, I would have allowed the crowd outside to tear you to pieces. Now come this way. You'll appreciate the beautifully carved ceilings of the portico.
Each night, Kurt would return to the open field and camp next to the time machine before heading off to work the following morning. He stayed in the area for many weeks, traveling as far west as the fortress of Alexandrium and as far south as the banquet rooms of Herod's palaces. And it was near the end of the third week that, while returning to the time machine once again, Kurt saw something rather peculiar happening.
Hey! Get away from that thing!
Stranger, do not kick our sheep.
Well, if you had kept your sheep away from my property, I wouldn't have needed to kick him.
But these are our fields. What right have you to store your property here?
What is all this yelling? The others are trying to sleep.
I found this stranger kicking our sheep, Father.
Let's see. These wires don't look too bad.
Hey, do not ignore us.
Now look, if you poke me with that stick again...
Father, look!
It came out of nowhere. A bright light appeared in the sky, causing each of them to fall to the ground, some in fear, others in reverence. The light drifted closer until it hovered right above them. It was so bright and so piercing that one could not look at it without experiencing great pain. But if one were foolish enough to stare at it for any longer than a second's glance, one could just make out the faint outline of a man.
Do not be afraid.
The sky! There's someone in the sky!
We see.
I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
As soon as the angel finished speaking, smaller lights, at first a few, and then suddenly hundreds, appeared from the corners of the earth and spread across the sky until there were too many for any mortal to count. Within each of these lights were the outlines of more figures who in unison shouted,
"Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
What was that?
You have seen what I have seen. You know only what I know.
But the way those lights flew across the sky, it was nothing I've ever seen before. I must be dreaming. Yes, that's it. That's what it is. I'm dreaming.
Then you and I are having the same dream.
What should we do, Father?
What else? We must all go to Bethlehem and see this thing which the Lord has told us about.
Yes, we must do. Of course.
Will you join us, stranger?
If this was all done to alert us of a birth of a child, then he must be a mighty king indeed.
Is that a yes?
Yes, I will follow you.
They walked across the fields in silence as Kurt wrestled with an eerie sense of déjà vu. Why did this all seem so familiar to him? As though he had made this journey long ago or had experienced it all in a dream sometime. But in his state of confusion, Kurt had forgotten all about the time machine and what his purpose in Judea even was. And as the minutes went by, their pace grew faster until Kurt found himself sprinting alongside the rest of them in excitement. They entered a small town a half hour later, running up and down streets, through alleyways, and knocking on doors, asking groggy, half-asleep faces if they knew of anyone who had given birth that day.
You know of anyone who's given birth today?
There's no one like that around here.
It wasn't until after an hour of searching, when they saw the youngest shepherd scrambling down a steep hill at the northern edge of town, that everyone knew he'd been found.
Over here! I think I found him!
The shepherds followed him up a rocky hillside, until they arrived at a wooden gate that led them into a small, fenced-off section of land.
Through here! They're through here!
Well done, my son.
They crossed the land until they entered a long stable with a slanted lumber rooftop, passing oxen and donkeys lounging on straw. And it was at the very end of the stable that there appeared the entrance to a cave. Kurt followed the shepherds through the opening, though not before catching sight of the small pile of blood-soaked rags by his feet.
This is no place for a king to be born.
The men shuffled forward, squirming through a brief narrowing of the walls, until they arrived at the end of the cave. There they saw a man and a woman sitting on the ground, with faces that glistened from the light of a nearby oil lamp. Kurt, who was at the very back of the group, stood on his toes to see them. He noticed first the man, then the woman, and then, in front of them, a rectangular stone feeding trough that had a large crack down its center. A feeding trough that everyone had stopped several feet from. Leaning in further, he saw an infant wrapped in white linen, and it was at that very moment, as though the gust of wind that had passed through the cave had incited it, that he suddenly remembered what he had, throughout the course of that night, completely forgotten.
The story of the Nativity. How did I not see it before?
Who are you?
There is no need to be frightened. We are not here to harm you. We are only shepherds. Shepherds the Lord saw fit to alert of a child. This child. May we see him?
Can you not see that she has just given birth? Now please, all of you, I ask that you—
It's okay, Joseph. I don't mind. Please, come closer.
Wow.
I can see that something is on your mind, Kurt.
I don't understand. There must be some mistake. How can that have been the King of Kings?
You saw the angels. You heard what they said.
I saw them, but I don't believe it.
Not all kings are born in great palaces.
But who would want to follow a king without one?
Everyone, I should think. Does it not say anything to you that our Messiah came from the splendor of heaven to the squalor of the feeding trough? Does it not say anything that the ruler of the heavens and the earth is now, at this very moment, close to the lowly, the lost, the weak, and the neglected?
Those may seem like comforting words to a shepherd like you, but I am not any one of those things.
Aren't you?
No, I'm not meek. I am part of the greatest empire in the world, one that would be greater than even Rome. Where I come from, we have a king, and he will turn us into a mighty people.
Then you have sworn allegiance to a false god, one that shall only lead you to destruction.
Respectfully, you do not know what you're talking about.
I only speak the words that have been spoken to me. The word of the prophet Isaiah, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God.
The first and the last.
Yes, the Alpha and the Omega. The King of Kings who has dominion over each century in between. I do not know the ruler you speak of. But I expect he has no more power on this earth than Herod or Caesar. Their reign, their influence, are but a speck in time. No matter how much they seek to extend it.
Surely it isn't possible that this child...
What did you say?
Nothing. I should go. I have duties to attend to.
Stay. Sit. The thoughts that stir inside you should not be trampled upon by one's duties. See how we've abandoned our own.
No, kind shepherd, it truly is time for me to go. But I thank you for the conversation.
And without another word, Kurt climbed back inside the machine.
Who's there? Oh. Back so soon, Herr Obermann. I didn't expect you for another few weeks.
Let's go back to Berlin, Schmidt. As quick as we can.
Oh, yes, sir. Right away.
Try as he did to organize his notes and sketches on the way home, Kurt was not able to shake what he had seen. He could not get the image of the stable from his mind, nor the sounds from his ears or the smells from his nose. Was the old shepherd right? Was there some great significance that he was born in such a place? He had heard the stories before, sang about them in his childhood, but he had never before considered what meaning it all held.
Gute Nacht, Herr Obermann. Aren't you leaving as well?
No, I'm going to stay. A little while longer.
I know it isn't any of my business, sir, But is everything all right? You seemed different today.
No, Schmidt. Everything isn't all right. For so many years, I've given every fiber of my being to help make Germany bigger and more beautiful than anything before it. And tonight, I came face to face with someone who made all of my efforts feel so utterly meaningless.
And who was that, sir?
The Christ child.
You saw the...
Yes. And it was nothing like the Parthenon, nothing like the Colosseum, nothing like Herod's palace. No, what struck me the most was how utterly uninspiring it all was.
Uninspiring?
He was a child, like any child, born in a stable, no more remarkable than any other stable. Small, dark, claustrophobic. As a student of architecture, I've been trained not only to study form and style, but to study the ideologies expressed through that architecture. And I find myself baffled by the ideology that was presented to me.
What ideology?
That in his birth, this king chose to humble himself. What a ridiculous notion that is. You should go home, Schmidt. It's late. Enjoy your time off.
Yes, sir. But where are you going?
Back inside the machine. There's something I need to see. Something that will prove that shepherd wrong once and for all.
Shepherd? What shepherd?
No! No!
Let's see. Gotta get rid of this. Definitely that.
Spear!
Kurt? Kurt Obermann? Oh, why? I haven't seen you since before the war started.
What is going on? Everything is destroyed.
Yes. I'm afraid it is.
But what about our plans for the new Berlin? The German stadium? Didn't anything of ours get built?
Oh, very little. And what we did build, the enemy destroyed. I'd be surprised if anything remains once it's all said and done.
But what about all our research? The sketches? The Greater Germania that you said would...
A pipe dream. That's all it was. You, of all people, should have seen the signs.
What signs?
Some researcher you turned out to be. Fine. If that's what you want, let's talk architecture. There's certainly no better time than the present, is there?
What are you doing?
Now, settle down, class. At the beginning of the French Revolution, there was an architect named Étienne Louis Boulay, who, like myself, drew heavily from classical antiquity. His works were simple and exquisitely proportioned.
What does this have to do with...
Now, please do not speak without being called upon. Well, what quickly followed this splendid Boulay style was the Empire style, which added elaborate ornamentation to all those classical forms, and which only grew more elaborate until the end of the Napoleonic Empire. Here's the interesting part, students. This stylistic evolution did not occur during the span of 1,000 years. Or even 100 years. This happened over a period of 20 years. France had reached a height of prosperity so quickly that its architectural style had no choice but to reflect that prosperity, no matter how ostentatious and ghastly it all looked. It's a phenomenon that has happened throughout so many other civilizations. Just compare the simple Doric buildings of early Hellenism to the ones in late Hellenism.
They've reached a new sort of enormity at Baalbek, didn't they?
They did. Time and time again, empires begin by imitating simple models from antiquity until they evolve into total Frankensteinian decadence. It is as if that decadence itself is a signal that their end is near. I should have noticed that this same phenomenon was happening here. How our designs were becoming larger, more muscular, more embellished than anything we were constructing in the beginning. If I had just stopped and thought about it, I might have noticed that our own tastes were signaling the end of our own time. Perhaps we can only aim so high. Perhaps...
Perhaps Hitler was only able to take us so high?
Yes, well...
Where is Hitler now, Speer?
Oh, dead. And what makes it so maddening isn't that he died. It's that his last words to me were... So, you're leaving? Good. Auf Wiedersehen. No thank yous, no handshake. He just waved me away like I was a housefly. After everything I had done for him, I became nothing.
Look, Speer, we can rebuild, can't we? Someone else will take over, right?
You're starting to give me a headache. Look around you, Kurt. It's over. We lost. And not a single one of us will escape judgment for what we did.
What did we do?
Just get out of here. You're of no use to me anymore.
But what about... You all right?
Don't touch me. Just go, and don't ever let me see your face again.
Get that what? Man!
No!
Fire! He's getting away!
Hello. Is Ashbeer here? I need to speak to him right away.
I'm afraid he's gone home for Christmas, Herr Obermann.
For Christmas?
Yes. It is Christmas Eve, after all.
Is it really? What are the chances?
One in 365 days, sir.
Yes. Of course. I should call my family. Oh, how pleased they will be. Can I use your telephone?
Hello?
Katerina? It's Kurt.
Kurt! What a surprise! Where are you calling from?
Here in Berlin. I'm coming home, Katerina.
You are? But you weren't supposed to be home for another 2 weeks.
I know, but... Well, I can explain everything to you later. I just wanted you to know. So you didn't open the glue vine without me.
I won't.
I'll see you both soon. I love you, Katerina.
I love you too.
Goodbye.
Yes. Okay. Oh, there's so much we have to do. I have to put the bread in the oven and... Oh, I've got to get started on the spritz, Kabeck.
Where's your mommy?
Your father. He's coming home, Ava. He's really coming home.
Hooray!
Oh, how good it'll be to see them again.
Herr Obermann.
Oh, good evening, Herr Goebbels.
How good it is to see you after such a long time. Come to my office, will you? I would like a private word with you.
Of course.
This way, please. I am sure that you are looking forward to getting home to your family.
I am.
Well, I will try to make this as brief as I can. The reason I wanted to speak to you was because of a rather enlightening conversation I had with Martin Schmidt.
Martin Schmidt? You mean my pilot?
Yes, your pilot. Rightfully so, he informed me of a conversation you two had. A conversation regarding the Christ child.
He did?
Oh, don't worry. You aren't in any trouble. I had long heard rumors of a Zeitmaschine in Speer's department, so this comes as little shock to me. Though I do believe such a machine would have had many more important uses. But that's another issue entirely. Right now, what I want to know more is about this child. It sounds like this encounter had a rather profound effect on you.
Well, I don't know. I suppose, in a way.
I'm so very glad to hear it. Well, in that case, I expect you wouldn't mind visiting him again. In a more, shall we say, official capacity.
Official capacity?
Yes. With a couple of high-ranking members of the Allgemeine SS. Allow me to introduce to you Herr Schinkel and Herr Schröder.
Guten Abend, Herr Obermann.
I'm a little confused. Why do you want me to go back with them?
So that they can validate your story, of course. It is a rather, shall we say, unbelievable story. Ein unmögliche Geschichte, after all. And someone of my rank and stature cannot simply accept the words of a low-level researcher. As soon as these men see the child for themselves, they will report back to me. So that I too may go and worship him. That won't be a problem, will it?
No, sir.
I am so very glad to hear it.
Guten Abend, Schmidt.
Guten Abend, Herr Obermann.
This is Herr Schinkel and Herr Schröder. They will be joining us on our trip. I take it you know where we're going.
Same location as last time, I presume.
Quite right. Danke, Herr Schmidt. Well, we're here.
Good. Now, where is the child?
Not far. Just a few miles this way.
The two men followed Kurt closely across the field, giving him little space to walk, their feet hitting the back of his heels as they navigated the rocky hillsides and sunken valleys.
Hurry it up. Quickly now.
Kurt was worried. More worried than he'd ever been in his entire life. He knew that Goebel's intentions were not what he said they were, that these two men were not there to validate his story, and that Goebbels had no intention of ever visiting the child himself. No, deep down, he knew what these men were there to do. He didn't know what to make of the child, what to make of anything he'd seen that day. But what he did know was that he wanted to be home, with his family. All he could think about was Katerina having to put a teary-eyed Ava to bed.
Why isn't Daddy home?
Your father is a busy man. He must have been assigned a new project.
No, Kurt Obermann didn't know if he was doing the right thing, but he knew that he didn't have a choice. He led the two men into town just as the sun was starting to rise, catching the eyes of locals heading to work. They followed him up a series of stone steps until they arrived at the top of a hill.
You'll find the mother and child right through these gates.
Ah, yes. A temple. Of course. How fitting for a Jewish king.
Indeed it is. I've been told that you've not seen true architecture until you've seen King Herod's architecture. Well, I'll wait out here until you're done.
You're not coming with us?
No. Seeing him once was enough for me. Besides, I expect you'll want to meet him by yourselves. I found it to be a rather personal experience.
Yes. Now that I think about it, it may be better for you to wait out here.
Pardon me, stranger. My fellow priests and I couldn't help but notice the strangely dressed men who entered the temple just now. Do you know them?
Are you referring to those Greek men?
Greeks? They are not Jews?
No, as a matter of fact, they told me that they were both very proud Greeks.
Did he just say there are Greeks in the temple?
We must get them!
We must stone them!
Gather, all of you! The strongest of you in front! Together we will drag them out of this city! Never again shall we allow outsiders to defile the temple of our Lord!
And just as they had discussed, the mob stormed into the temple, where they found Schinkel and Schroeder standing in the inner courtyard, with rather lost and confused expressions on their faces.
And now, which way is it?
Are either of you a Jew?
Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Take them!
And threw them out of the temple gates, where an even larger mob had formed. They dragged them by their arms and legs down the hill and out of the city, where, after much screaming and wailing, the mob killed them.
Open your next present, Ava.
Do we wait for Daddy?
I think we've waited long enough.
Okay.
Hello?
Kurt?
Daddy!
My little Ava! Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Daddy.
Like all good Christmases, they spent the day gathered around the Christmas tree, laughing, opening presents, and singing songs. And while Kurt did not tell his wife the truth about all of his experiences until the following morning, that morning she knew something about him had changed.
You quit your job today, didn't you?
I did. Handed Speer my resignation letter this morning.
I see. I take it you have a reason.
I think so. Though, I admit, it's a reason that I don't fully understand myself. Though I certainly hope to, in the days ahead.
The Architect, Part 2, was written, directed, and sound designed by Ben Kemp. Our music was composed by Benjamin Crispin. Our cast included Peter Fazari as Kurt Obermann, Jonathan Cook as Albert Speer and the Priest, Trisha Rose as Katerina Obermann and the Secretary, Brian Kirk as Herr Schmidt and Herr Schinkel, Glenn Haskell as King Herod and the Elder Shepherd, Dominic Trice as the Young Shepherd, Boyd Barrett as the Angel, Kaylee LaPointe as Mary, Josh Rodriguez as Joseph, Benjamin Crispin as Joseph Goebbels, and Mark LaPointe was our narrator. A Bit of Time Travel is a presentation of Somewhat Significant Audio Productions. Join us next time for another exciting adventure through time.